Hello and welcome to The Cast of Us, a podcast dedicated to The Last of Us on HBO and brought to you by the Fan Critical Podcast Network.
Hello.
We are back with our hot take. Yes, hello. You slow down.
Sorry, I'll intro you in a second. Talking to me.
Nope, welcome talking you. To listeners. You slow down, son. All right, I'll get there. All right. So, dear listeners, straight after finishing the episode each week, we will come to you with our uninfected thoughts on that episode before later in the week bringing you our deep dive with fellow survivor John, where we do a scene by scene breakdown, and of course new listener favorite Clicker Corner, where we point out all the Easter eggs adapted from the game, yeah, or anything that we've noticed that's, you know, little homage to the video game.
Some of them are a bit silly, aren't they? You've just made them up. Oh, you know how that guy was wearing shorts? There were some shorts, yeah, in the game.
Yeah, that is kind of accurate. So, yeah, don't spoil Clicker Corner for this week, please, Gareth. Yes. But anyway, he is allowed to talk now. Joining me, as always, on these hot takes is my fellow survivor, the member of the group that is always sick, the one that we have to constantly go and gather medicine and supplies for. It's little Gareth.
You say that, but I am fully recovered, self-medicated, and it sounds to me like you've picked up a little cold yourself, mate. You haven't escaped,
well,
have you?
Hanging out with you, yeah, is dangerous.
Wow.
And it is known that we do usually record together,
yeah,
and you infected me,
right,
last week, you little scoundrel. But I'm fine. Yeah, I'm not fucking kicking off a fuss about it or anything. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. All right, listeners? So don't you worry.
You said something in your little preamble there that I liked. Uninfected, yep, thoughts. That's good. Did you?
Yeah.
Did you,
yeah,
write that one down today, did you?
Yeah, literally wrote that down in my notes today. Obviously, anyone who listens to our Game of Thrones coverage knows we have unsullied thoughts,
yep,
for the, you know, show-only watchers. And like John is a show-only watcher of this show, so he's completely uninfected all the time. But what I mean by that, Gareth, is we don't read any reviews, listen to anything, or do any extra research. We just watch the episode and we come and talk to the listeners straight away before the deep dive.
Yeah. There's no fungi telling us what to think, you know? This is...
No, that's
this
true.
This is our truth.
Free will. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And of course, there's going to be spoilers for episode 2, titled Infected, directed by the game director himself, Neil Druckmann. So that's a little tidbit for you there.
Nice.
All right, then, Gareth, quick thoughts. Can't obviously score it, save that for the deep dive. But what are your thoughts on episode 2 of The Last of Us?
It was really good. Again, I think, you know, last week, John, in the deep dive, John said we're going to struggle to find negatives in this show. And 2 episodes in, and I fully agree with that. This was more of the same. We got more of that development of the relationship between Joel and Ellie, obviously. And
yep, and it's infancy, isn't it? It's very much
it is in its infancy.
Here.
It's in its like pure banter stage, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they don't like each other at the moment, and that's great. That's true to the game, true to the source material. Some slightly more extended bits of dialogue between them as well. You know, there were, mm-hmm, conversations and discussions and questions. And seeing more of this world, I just love it, Len. It's they've made it look so good.
Yeah, it looks amazing. It looks fantastic. Like I just never thought it would ever look this good.
Yeah.
Like I thought they'd really struggle,
mm,
with just the journey's so long, and they've got this, you know, nature overtaking everything. But it looks like they've gone pretty practical with a lot of these effects, which I'm all in for.
Yeah, the set pieces. Look, we'll get into this in detail,
oh, yeah,
I'm,
yeah,
sure. But the settings. But also, I tell you what, we got some close ups of some clickers.
Oh yeah,
they're colourful bunch, aren't they?
Bloody colourful, in a way, very colourful. Mm. Well, I'll give you my thoughts, Gareth, before we go into some hot takes, because I feel like we're, you know, stepping on some tendrils there.
Oh.
You know, some hot take tendrils. So let's just dial it back a bit. I think that this episode is also fantastic. Now, We had to slow stuff down this week, obviously. Last week was a huge setup episode. And it's a shorter runtime, 50 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's literally just Tess, I mean, bar the cold open, which we'll get to. It's literally just Tess, Joel and Ellie on the start of their journey. And because of that, there's so many moments of quiet and calm amongst this hellish landscape that they're traversing. And the dialogue, just the way it was shot, the set pieces, everything about it, the tension racketing up throughout the episode, and then obviously culminating in the museum set piece. I just think they're doing an absolutely fantastic job. And this, in my opinion, could never really be a film now. Having seen it like this, it really is going to benefit from having that 10-hour, you know, 9 episodes or 10 hours or so runtime to really get the characters fleshed out, because you know,
you couldn't do Joel and Ellie's relationship arc in 2 hours.
That's what they were going to do originally. That's what Neil Druckmann, probably not through choice, but that was the ideas that were being floated around, was, you know, a movie a few years ago. But I'm glad that this is the way it has, the cards have fallen. I'm very happy with that. So look, obviously can't score it. Listen to the deep dive out in a day or so's time where we will score it. But I can safely say that for me and Gaz, it's a very positive review coming, guys. Little bit of admin before we jump into our hot takes. If you are a new listener, welcome. It's great to have you here. Please do, of course, subscribe and share the podcast. That would mean the world to us. And hey, if you want to go that, you know, little extra mile across the United States, you could leave us a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. That would be amazing. And we are going to start hopefully having a feedback section when we get around to it. And for that, you can email us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. The link is in the show notes. The email link is in the show notes. And you can let us know your thoughts on the show, the podcast, whatever you want. And it might get read out on the pod. So
that is my favorite part of the episode, is when we do feedback.
So. Well, Gareth, that's usually our favourite part of the episode, when some of the stuff we cover isn't that good. but because this is so good, yeah. I don't know if we'll ever get time to do it, because we've got so much to talk about. Right, Gareth, hit us up with hot take number one, hot tendril number one.
No. tendril. I don't want to use that word. It's
it's gross, isn't it?
Disgusting. My first hot take is based on the cold open to this episode, and it's the additional snippet of information that we got here, which builds upon the kind of additional information that we got at the start of last episode. And obviously, for the vast majority of these episodes, they're staying very true to the game. They're clearly following that line. But what we are getting as well is this kind of these expositional scenes that I think work really well.
Bit of world building.
Bit of world building, exactly.
Bit of hey, you've played the game, but look, we're going to give you these extra little snippets of information which give a greater context to the story.
And I think there is an argument. Yeah. There is an argument that exists, you know, in maybe defending the game, to say you don't need to know all the details about what happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's about the here and now, and this is where we are. But and I do think that's fine, and I think it works in the game. Like, I was never like, oh my god, I need to know how this has happened and in detail. But getting this information now, I'm really enjoying, and I've liked both of those kind of additional scenes. The chat show, the 1968 chat show.
Yep, correct, Gareth.
In episode one.
Memory.
And the 2003 Jakarta stuff.
Yeah. And talking about Jakarta, Gareth, I'll bounce off you for my hot tendril, hot take two.
No, hot take, yes.
And basically, this is something that I noticed, and I'm going to talk about it in the deep dive, and it's this theory that was going around after last week, right? And as I said, I'll elaborate on the deep dive, but it was about the origin of the infection. So, you know, I went down a rabbit hole, Gareth.
Careful, that's where the infection might have come from.
Well, yeah. basically, the theory was saying about how the infection was flower-based, right? Mm-hmm. So, and the mention of Jakarta on the radio last week, people were like, that's the largest flour exporter in the world, right? It's got the largest flour mill in the world. So that's where a lot of the world gets their flour from.
Right, okay.
So it's this idea.
Sorry, as in, got you. All right, for baking and shit. I thought you
for
meant...
For baking, Gareth, yes. Flowers. Fucking roses and, lilies.
Fascinating.
We're talking, flour, all right? And I'll get on to the Reddit thread and the theory, which is pretty much confirmed now, I think, in the deep dive. So please do tune in for that. And there'll be some lovely little snippets of information for you. But when I saw the cold open, I was like, straight away, I was like, oh, no. I was a bit worried, Gareth, because I don't think, like you just said, we necessarily need to see the outbreak anymore. Mm. But as this developed and as it was expertly constructed again, the tension slowly building up for this, quite quaint, lovely woman to suddenly then be brought to the fear that she has and the trembling in her voice by the end of the cold
and,
open.
And the way that she just goes, bomb.
Bomb, yeah. I was just sat there, like, by the end of it, I was like, they need, they need to do this for every episode. I was like, this is Breaking Bad, like, this is like Vince Gilligan, cold opens. I was like, and then I was thinking, are they going to do it for the whole time? Because that'd be really interesting to get these snippets into the real world downfall before we, skip forward 20 years. Anyway, just a little thought. I loved it and I thought I would hate it. I genuinely was like, oh shit, this is a bad start. And then I was like, oh, it's amazing. What was I talking about? What was I worried about?
What were you worried about?
Yeah. Take it away over number three, please, Gareth.
Number three, I wonder how well this kind of translates to the mainstream, but as you know, I have got like a little bit of an interest in like abandoned buildings and stuff. And
yeah, you're a bit of a weirdo.
Well, yeah. Urban exploration, mate. It's quite common.
Stalking around, skulking in abandoned buildings.
It's cool.
Bizarre.
There's some great YouTube videos out there of people who do this that go and explore abandoned buildings, and some of them are incredible. And it's the best ones are the ones where nature has begun to take over. And
yeah,
man, I tell you what, I think I've said this before, but if it wasn't for, the mushroom monsters and
wasn't for those
murderers and all of that, I would love to explore an abandoned Boston. I'd love it.
It would be very cool if, like you said, I wasn't shitting myself the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that aside, just there is this like catastrophic beauty about it and the way that they've shot it is stunning. The scene of the buildings like that have collapsed and the skyscrapers that are empty and fallen over and covered in vines and entire forests essentially inside them, and it's it's just beautiful, and it's so well created.
It's tragic. It's beautifully tragic, isn't it? But it's also like humans are just a parasite really on the world. It's quite a disgusting thing to think about, but how beautiful nature is, when it starts taking everything back.
I know, and it will, like one day it will.
One day it will. We'll surely kill ourselves somehow. It's going to happen. Climate change, the cordyceps are coming, guys, because climate change is real. So anyway, talking about cordyceps and the horrible infection that it is, we get our first good look at the clickers. Mm-hmm. Going to go into this obviously in extensive detail in the deep dive.
Honestly, the first one in particular, he was ready. He looked like he was ready for Mardi Gras or some shit. Like, he's so flamboyant.
They are quite flamboyant. They're very like throwing their limbs around, aren't they?
Yeah, and his little headdress.
But they've got no control over what's going on, Gareth. It's the fungus, yeah? Mm. And I think they're suitably terrifying. I think... obviously in the game, at points you're like taking down fucking 5, 6, 7 clickers in a room, you know, Molotovs, spike bombs, whatever. I think here they did a really good job of making it more intimate, making it, because you hadn't had much action throughout the whole episode. When you got there, you were there. You know, it was earned. It was a well-earned moment. And I really enjoyed, I mean, I love horror stuff, and I know you do as well. I just enjoyed the whole set piece, to be honest with you. And yeah.
I think it was very scrappy, isn't it? And
it is. It's the action is obviously well choreographed, but it is like, it's dynamic. It's like, hey, the camera's moving with the fucking participant here. This is not going to be, you're not going to see everything. Do you know what I mean? It's like the camera is literally diving with John, and, you know, which I like. I like that.
And, you know, this was just two regular clickers, essentially.
Two regular clickers.
Just regular guys. And and it was a massive struggle, like, to the point that, you know, we've now lost Tess. But that, I think it could have been easy in other shows, and maybe shows that were made 10, 15 years ago would have just had Joel, like, stylishly picking off the clickers, like, headshot, nice. And then he, like, blows smoke out of his gun. Not a euphemism, gosh, Len. Yeah. Okay, so you're getting hot under the collar there, mate. Settle down.
It's just fucking hot in this room, but yeah.
But for it to be such a struggle shows you, like, how much of a battle it is to survive in this world. And you're right, the camera work kind of carries on, carries that legacy as well. It's like, camera's flying around, and this is a proper fight, battle for survival, and that's how it should be in this world.
That's how it should be, and unfortunately, that means that there will be casualties along the way.
Yeah.
And look, I knew this was coming, obviously, anyone who played the game did, but it didn't hurt any less. I actually think that Anna Torv and the showrunners did a great job with Tess in this adaptation. I cared about her a lot. Like, you've only seen her for 2 episodes, but she's a very interesting character. Like, it's the sort of character that's like, you want to get to know more, and before you know it, it's just, you know, she's gone. And the impassioned plea that she gives to Joel, it's just fucking phenomenal acting. Like, the acting was so good. It was like, it reduced me to a tear again, Gareth.
Oh my God.
This is the second week in a row.
You need to sort yourself out, mate. Come on.
I'm a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
What's going on? I'm on Struggle Street every week. Fucking getting the tissues out. Jesus.
Yes. You come and watch it with me next week, all right? And
we'll
have a little cuddle
we'll
on the
cry
sofa.
Together.
You're right. It is... She is a really well done character, in the sense that I'm annoyed, and like you said, I knew that she was about to die, but I'm annoyed that she's gone, because she's an intriguing presence. Anna Torv is a great actor, and she's a cool character.
Her backstory would have been really interesting as well. Like, I'm not saying we would have got it, but, you know, some sort of flashback or something into the way, you know, something about her would have been really interesting, I think. Not, you know, didn't need it at all, but I just think that she was doing such a fantastic portrayal that I was really interested.
Well, she's from Detroit, which is in Michigan,
yeah,
Len.
In Michigan, yeah. Well, you know, most people from the UK wouldn't know where that is, but I bloody do. So don't even get me started, yeah?
You went to school.
And obviously, I just want to say, this has got very, we'll talk about this in a deep dive, because we're going to wrap up soon. But the tendril kiss, Gareth, and it's fucking Cronenberg like. This is like Cronenberg shit that we're seeing here.
Why did she take it?
Well, we'll get into that. I mean, I think just so that if she was like kicking off, then maybe all of them would go and like rip her to pieces. But because she just like, you know, is passive, maybe she has the time then to do the lighter. That's the way I interpreted the scene.
Yeah. I think that's what she's going for, but...
Yeah, but it's so Cronenberg, man. Like, this is like 80s Cronenberg shit. like Slither or some other weird fucking films that he's made. Like, it's weird, bro. I was, and I'm all in for it. Super horror. It's like proper old school horror.
Body shock horror. So I'm in for that. Horror.
Yeah, it's like body horror stuff, and there's a lot of that here. So, but like I said, the deep dive, get John involved, see what he thinks about it. I don't think he's as much as a, of a sort of horror lover as we are. So it'll be interesting to see what he what he has to say.
I'm not a huge fan of gross out horror. I know you. Yeah. I know you love it, but
yeah, do you?
Yeah, and these tendrils are disgusting. They are disgusting. I think though,
yeah,
it's probably a good choice, isn't it? And the fact that I'm disgusted, that's probably what they're going for. Let's be fair.
I think it was a weird, when I heard like they've got rid of the spores and they've gone for the tendrils, it's like that's such a weird change. Mm. But now seeing it like manifested in that cold open and at the end, I'm like, it's just a great change. It's those little tendrils moving around. It's just terrifying. They're just disgusting. Like, it's so good. Mm. So kudos. Kudos on the change. Kudos. Of course, I'll go through more changes in Click a Corner, obviously. So check that in a day or so's time. And that is it for the hot take. As I said, these are the short, sharp, hopefully very sweet podcasts that you get straight after the episode's aired. And like I said, the deep dive is going to be out in like 24 hours time. So don't you worry. Juicy Click a Corner and scene by scene breakdown is on its way. In the meantime, please do subscribe, share the podcast, review it too if you can, that'd be lovely, and even email in some theories, your thoughts on the changes at the game, you know, changes from the game, things that you annoyed they changed, and like I said, it might get read out on the show, so worth a quick little email, really. And your support obviously means the world to us, dear listeners. So thank you very much. Right, Gareth, go get some rest.
I'm off out. I'm going to hunt for some medicinal supplies for you this time because you're
I'll be fine. Don't you worry about me. I'm strong. I'm like Joel. Got a bloody broken hand. Just walking around. Don't worry about it.
I remember you with injuries, mate. You sulk for weeks.
Yeah, I do get very sulky. Yeah. Sulky. But yes, we will go get some more supplies. Remember, endure and survive, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.